Yes, thank you. Thanks, especially to those who stayed after the break. Thanks for your perseverance. Thanks for being here this afternoon. I also want to acknowledge my co-authors that they were of great help. Without them, this project probably wouldn't be possible. Very briefly, we're going to talk about grazing land. So I'm going to provide a very brief overview why we think those ecosystems are so important. The first reason is because they cover an extensive area on a global scale. They represent about 26% of the world land and 70% of the agricultural land. Also, there's a number of ecosystem services associated with these ecosystems. One of them is soil carbon sequestration. This will be the focus of my talk today. Grazing land soils contain approximately 12% of the Earth's soil organic matter. So they play a very important role in terms of terrestrial carbon sequestration. However, one of the issues that these ecosystems are facing is that they are either being replaced by more intensive agriculture activities. In Florida, there's a big competition for urban development. So a lot of the native rangelands are being converted into urban development. Or in many cases, producers are intending to maximize the production. So there's a number of management practices that are focused on maximizing forage or animal production and don't necessarily have a positive impact on soil carbon sequestration. So this will be the focus of my topic. Because of the, like I said, the vast area covered by grazing lands, any small changes, either positive or negative, can have major impacts on the global carbon cycling. So the objective of this study that I'm going to share with you was to evaluate the impact of converting the native rangelands that used to be how Florida looked like many years ago into these more intensively managed systems. They are still grazing land ecosystems. The more intensively managed are two ecosystems that I'm going to show some pictures. One is the silvopasture pasture, and one are improved pastures where animals are rotationally stocked. So there's a greater stocking density, also greater nutrient input. We want to evaluate the impact of this intensification on soil carbon distribution in the aggregate fractions. So some of the data that I'm going to be sharing with you today is very similar to the previous presenter, but on a different environment. So here are the three ecosystems that we were evaluating. On your left-hand side is the native rangeland. This is how Florida would probably look like if we didn't have so many people living there. We consider this the baseline. At one point in time, everything looked like this. So about 20 years ago, a fraction of these native rangelands were converting to two different systems, the silvo pasture, which consisted of a warm season perennial grass cultivated in conjunction with trees, and we have this improved pasture here. So the intensification here increases as you move from the native to the improved pasture. And by intensification, for the purpose of this presentation, basically means greater nitrogen input and greater stocking density. So we have much more animals grazing in this area. This area was also subject to grazing, but no nutrient input and much lower stocking density. As you move to the right, there was more greater nitrogen load and also greater stocking density. I also want to show some details about the vegetation. In the native area, the predominant vegetation is this shrub, which we call sol palmetto, which is a C3 species. So it has a very distinct C13 signature. As we move to the improved pasture, the dominant species is a perennial C4 species. So we have the transition in the delta C signature when you convert the system, the native system, into the most the more intensively managed ones. All three sites were replicated, but they were co-located. So you can see this is a aerial view of the three study sites. They were replicated, but they were co-located. So they are under the same climatic conditions, same soil types. And talking about soil types, it's a very interesting situation because they are predominant sandy soils, podosols. They contain about 98% of sand, So you can imagine the carbon dynamics are quite different in these extremely sandy soils and very coarse texture soils. And the location is in central South Florida. And one thing I forgot to mention is this system has been consistently managed for over 20 years. So we're looking at the long-term impact of this management practices on the soil carbon responses. I won't get into the details, but how the samples were collected, some of the response variables that we were measuring, we're also interested in the seasonal pattern. So we collect samples across a transect, so we could make sure that we went back to the same spot. But what I'm sharing with you today, excuse me, is the aggregate size distribution, as well some carbon C13 data, and the mineralization of carbon associated with these various aggregate size classes. So let's start with the soil carbon stocks and nitrogen stocks. And by the way, I didn't mention the samples were collected up to a meter depth. But for the purpose of the presentation today, I'm only sharing with you the top 20 centimeters. So all the data that I'm going to be showing today is the 0 to 10 and 10 to 20 centimeters depth increment. As we increase the intensification, let's look at the carbon stocks here. We increase carbon stocks at both depths. Here's about, if you compare 24 with 33, it's about 33% increase over the 22-year period. Here's a little bit more. It's about 50% increase in carbon stocks once you convert the native into the more intensively managed system. And when you look at the whole profile carbon up to a meter depth, on average, it was about 40% increase in soil carbon. Same response. I won't spend too much time in the nitrogen, but basically the same type of response. One thing that I want to highlight here is when you look at the silver pasture and the improved pasture in terms of soil nitrogen stocks, an improved pasture received approximately four times more nitrogen than the silver pasture, but still the carbon stocks were not statistically different among these two ecosystems. And that was the same when you look at the entire soil profile. This is aggregate mass distribution. There's not a treatment impact on this. So this data represents the average across all six experimental units. But the reason why I want to show, even though there's no statistical difference, the reason why I want to show you is so you can see the very unique characteristics of these soils. They are extremely sand. And if you look at the mineral particle here, which corresponds to anything that's less than 53 micron, so it's silt and plus clay, in terms of mass, that represents only between 2% and 3% of the total soil mass. However, I'm going to show you a little bit, a couple of slides ahead, that even though this mineral fraction, the silt plus clay, only represent 2% or 3% of the soil mass, it accounts for about between 20% and 40% of the carbon present in the soil. Even though it's a small fraction, it contains a significant amount of carbon in that soil. And it also plays an important role in terms of protecting carbon from mineralization in this environment. Because not only we have sandy soils, but we also have subtropical climate that favors carbon mineralization. So here's the carbon distribution in the aggregate size classes. And if you look at, particularly in the large aggregate fractions, the macro and the micro, that's where we saw most of the treatment effects. So in other words, as we increase intensification here from native, converted the native into the improved pasture, we increase the carbon associated with that large coarse aggregate fraction. And we start seeing some separation now between differentiation between the silver pasture and the improved pasture. Other thing I want to highlight is because we observed some statistical difference in the microaggregate, and usually we assume that carbon associated with microaggregate provides some sort of physical protection. However, for this type of soils in our environment, we need to interpret this data with a little bit of caution, and I'm going to show you why in the next slide. But before I do that, I just want to show that the nitrogen primarily was associated with the macroaggregate fraction. There's not much carbon associated with the finer aggregate classes. The reason why I said that the data needs to be interpreted with a little bit of caution is because when you look at the proportion of light fraction associated with these different aggregate sizes. If you look at just the numbers in parentheses here, what this means is that 79% of the carbon associated with the macroaggregate in this ecosystem here was light fraction. So basically, we're measuring plant-derived material of various sizes. And when you look at the microaggregate, there's also, especially in the the improved pasture, a large proportion of the carbon associated with the microaggregate fraction is actually light fraction. So not necessarily, in this situation, the microaggregation is not necessarily providing that physical protection. And the numbers were a little bit lower at the deeper soil depths, but it's still about half of the carbon associated with the microaggregate fraction, in this case, was light-free carbon. Similar response for nitrogen, about 90% of the carbon associated with the micro aggregate was light carbon. So because of, again, the nature of the soil, that increasing carbon in these different fractions doesn't necessarily mean that carbon is actually protected. And basically, this data is showing the same thing. This is the in terms of the whole soil, carbon in the whole soil, how much the distribution among these various fractions. So 67% of the carbon in the native rangeland was associated with this light-free fraction. Remember I mentioned that the mineral fraction only corresponds to 2 or 3% of the soil mass, but it represents an important storage for carbon in these ecosystems, especially when you go down in the soil profile. Finally, this is the last piece of data I want to share with you. What we did a lab incubation to estimate the mineralization of the carbon associated with these various aggregate size classes. As you can see, this is the whole soil, but look at the macroaggregates. That's where the majority of most of the carbon increments occur as a function of the intensification. There is much more, the mineralization rates are much more pronounced for the improved pasture here than from the native or the silver pasture ecosystems. What that means is, the improved pasture can accumulate more carbon, but the carbon is primarily in labile forms that can be easily mineralized. So if you introduce a disturbance, that gain in carbon over the period of 20 years can be easily lost because it's primarily in the light fraction. And yes, so we have the delta C13 data for the various classes, size classes, but basically it reflects the same thing. It reflects the current vegetation. In this system, you have a C4 species which has a C13 of delta C13 of minus 13, and this delta C signature reflects the C3 species. So as a overall conclusion, yes, long-term intensification can increase carbon and nitrogen stocks. However, those increases are primarily attributed to increases in carbon and nitrogen associated with the light fraction. So in terms of stabilization, it's questionable whether that carbon is actually protected from from mineralization. And this data also suggests when we do this physical fractionation in extremely sand soils like ours, there's some dangers in the misinterpreting the data because of the fact that the carbon associated, especially with the micro aggregates, might not be necessarily protected, physically protected. So with that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
We have a couple of minutes to get any questions.
We have two questions here. Go ahead. I divided the micro into two fractions. The macro is from 2,000 to 250 micron. That's macro. The micro, I divided in two sizes, but it should be 250 to 150. I'm sorry, 250 to 53. But you're going to see that in the, let me go back. I'm calling macro A and B, but actually anything between 250 and 53 is microaggregates.
Okay, so for the microaggregates, have you run mineral analysis to see what minerals or elements are involved in these macronutrients? Like if you have more of aluminum silicate or iron oxide, something like that?
No, we did not. But what we did, we ran a X-ray analysis for the mineral fraction, and these soils are dominated by quartz, so there's not much in terms of, again, mineral protection. Like as I mentioned before, there's not much clay to begin with. There's less than 2% of silt plus clay. So yeah, the mechanism for carbon protection in these soils is a little tricky. You're welcome. Yeah.
So in your improved or your sown pastures, do the farmers go in occasionally every 10 years and because it's stand is declined, and then they reestablish those, or they, once they're in, they leave them in for how many years?
That's a good question. We usually don't recommend renovation unless there's a reason. They always have the perception that bulk density or something is affecting, but it's actually most of the cases is mismanagement. So one common practice is what they call aerating. So they come and they physically disturb the soil, and and they see an improvement in the forage production. Part of that is because they are actually accelerating the mineralization of the organic matter. So it doesn't last very long, and I think it's a very cost procedure because in the long run, it actually hurts them. But yeah, some do.
We don't have time for the next question, so we will go for the next presentation.
Thank you.